Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's the worst thing when you're watching an episode, you're really enjoying, and it gets to the climax, and then, nope, it's just like that time in college when you thought it was going to be great and it just ended bad. With that in mind, I'm Sean Ferrick for Who Culture, and here are 8 Doctor Who episodes that were ruined by their endings. Number 8, Can You Hear Me? Now, this is one of season 12's better offerings, and one of the good episodes of Jodie Whittaker's era as the Doctor. The Eternals have been kicking around for quite some time. Zelen and Rakia are basically gods. I mean, they can do whatever they want, they can turn up in people's dreams, cause nightmares, they can even hop in and out of the TARDIS. Now, the problem then with that is that they're so powerful, is how on earth are you gonna beat these guys back? And the problem then is they had no idea how to do it. So you get to the end of the episode and these ultimate big badass, we are talking worst of the worst of the worst, gone. Both of them, 90 seconds, the Doctor takes care of it. It just serves to do a disservice to the whole episode when the ending is basically just done in a whimper. I mean, where was their power? What kind of was the point of them? Ah! Number 7, The Next Doctor. There is an awful lot of fun to be found in this Christmas special, guest starring David Morrissey as the eponymous Next Doctor. Now, we knew that David Tennant was going to hand up the keys to the TARDIS at this point. So when number 10 runs into not given a number yet, Doctor, we're like, oh, this is clever. They've not done this before. Then it starts to get a bit like, oh, hang on. Especially when the Next Doctor refers to TARDIS as meaning tethered aerial release developed in style. There's a whole side plot of the Cybermen attacking Victorian London, which is actually kind of played a bit low key, which works for the episode. This is a character piece. This is about Jackson Lake and what he went through in losing his wife. It's really quite a ponderous episode as opposed to a big Cyberman invasion story. So then it turns into a big Cyberman invasion story. It gets nonsense. Cyberman, Jim Cyberman is stomping through London, but it's ridiculous. This thing is the size of a skyscraper, which in fairness, Victorian London wouldn't be aware of, and the Doctor manages to take it down by shooting the vortex at it, and sure, okay, not a great ending to an otherwise solid Christmas special. Number 6, Closing Time. Another story featuring Jim Cyberman here? No, actually, this is the sequel episode to James Corden's appearance in season 5's The Lodger, this being season 6's Closing Time. It's the penultimate episode of this bonkers season of Doctor Who that had the silence, it had the almost people, we'll get to that. A good man goes to war. Personally, I think season 6 is really one of the better seasons of New Who. This episode, look, you can tell it meant well. The climax of the episode sees James Corden's Craig about to be converted into a Cyberman, and he's able to stop the process because he hears his son crying. Yeah, that's right. The Cybermen are stopped by the power of love. And not just stopped, he manages to influx this into all of their heads, causing them to explode. Right. Basically, number 2 baddie in all of Doctor Who was stopped by love. Okie dokie. What a meager way to end what was overall a fun, light episode. It just went a little too much into melodrama at the end. Number 5, Resolution. Now, this, again, actually a pretty good, solid overall episode. This was the first of, say, the new era of festive specials, as opposed to Christmas special, because this appeared on New Year's Day. And it features a fairly badass Dalek. He's whipping around. He takes on a little small army of people and basically smooshes them. It kind of makes the Dalek scary again. This Dalek itself is kind of, not to be as indestructible, but certainly like the Terminator of Daleks. This thing was almost able to single-handedly take down Earth. Bit different from that lone Dalek from the first season of Russell T. Davies. I might die on that hill alone. Now, the ending of this one features this ultimate, unstoppable T-800 version of the Dalek being stopped by some microwave pieces being slapped onto the shell. I mean, lads, are you even trying? Similar to the earlier one on this list, Can You Hear Me? We made it too powerful. How do we end this? And then there's a silly joke about Wi-Fi as well. Look, I love a silly joke as much as the next bloke, but it just made sure the ending, the episode was going, yes, yes, yes. Number four, The Almost People. I actually happen to love this two-parter, The Rebel Flesh and The Almost People. It is incredibly creepy, and it's a really, really effective story for making you question, what is humanity? What does it mean to be real? Who gets to live? Who gets to die? And who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? These gangers, they're made from this flesh. They're effectively clones of the humans controlling them. Now, they control them psychically, like a marionette almost, so that they can do the rough work, so the humans don't have to, so the humans are safe. And it's so interesting. It's so deeply philosophical. And also, for the majority of the episode, there isn't a big bad that the Doctor has to fight, you know, like a big giant Cyberman, until that last stretch in the corridor. That CGI monster, sure, creepy design, unfortunately poor execution. It just comes across as rushed, slapdash, and unfortunately it robs some of the tension from the end of the episode there, which again, I cannot praise this two-parter enough only for that moment. And in fact, the scene after that is quite strong as well. That twist ending, I did not see that one coming. Not gonna lie. Number three, The Last of the Time Lords. I think I might catch heat for this one. Utopia, The Sound of Drums, and The Last of the Time Lords is probably my favorite of the Russell T. Davies, you know, season enders. Army of Ghosts and Doomsday, very, very strong. Really, really enjoyed it. Bad Wolf, Parting of the Ways, fantastic. And everything leading up to Journey's End was, yeah, that was a lot. But season three's ending, there was emotion and it was raw in some scenes. It's the psychic regeneration ending that puts it on this list here. Martha spends a year walking around the Earth telling people about the Doctor. This is actually all part of the Doctor's plan to use the network, the Archangel network that the Master has surrounded the Earth in. He is able to link into all of the human beings psychically and is able to reverse what the Master did to him. The Master basically took away his regenerations and he aged to the point of he was a little egg in a suit. And then he kind of goes space Jesus and kind of comes back from that. And the music is incredible. The direction is very, very amazing. And David Tennant sells it. It's just that resolution. Again, there was a whack of, we don't know how to end this, do we? Number two, The Power of Three. This episode is very important for several reasons. It reintroduces Kate Stewart. She had actually been introduced much earlier on in one of the home vids. UNIT comes back because suddenly billions of little black cubes have arrived all over the Earth and they do nothing. Absolutely nothing. They just sit there. And you would think that that could end up as a really boring episode, but actually, it's brilliant. We get Brian, Rory's dad, who is fantastic and should be in everything. All he does is he sets up the cube vigil where he just watches day after day after day to see, does it do anything? The fun of the episode, of course, is the Doctor experiencing time the way the rest of us do. And he is so bored. I mean, he mows the garden, plays football, paints a fence, comes back in, it's been 45 minutes. And he's just like, I'm out of here. Goes off and goes on some adventures. poor old Amy and Rory having to go through it the slow way. And that was the point of the episode, was to give us time with Amy and Rory before, together or not at all, the ending of the episode. That's the problem. Now, apparently there were behind the scenes issues that actually led to this one, with guest actor Stephen Berkoff, who is a giant in the world of theater, but apparently is quite a challenging person to work with, allegedly. But that results in the person who's responsible for all the black cubes turning up and kind of doing nothing and then leaving. And then the doctor waves the sonic screwdriver and it's done. And that's it. And seriously? Because so much of the plot hinged on the MacGuffin that was the cube, for it to turn out to be basically nothing, what was the point? Number one, Love and Monsters. One day, we'll do a list where Love and Monsters doesn't turn up for some negative reason. Honestly, we'll find a way. Music, it's got very good music, and you can't go wrong with a bit of ELO. All right, so let's put a pin in that one. And when we're doing a good music episode, Love and Monsters. The actual episode is pretty dreadful. There's some really good moments in it. Elton is a really compelling character. His story is properly tragic. Like, it's very, very sad. The Linda group are really engaging. They show you how to work through your grief as part of a group. Quite lovely. Peter Kay, look, through no fault to the man, he was told to play a bugger. Because that's what he is. At the end, he turns up in a fat suit, and he's got some faces stuck all over him, and he's got some hair, and he's got an auto-tuned voice. And it's just dreadful. And even the doctor doesn't seem to care. And then there's a weird, weird joke about doing things at a paving slab. And no, Russell, no.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.